Good morning, and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Hey, 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 here we are.
Good morning, and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And today we have what? A very special episode planned for you.
Yeah.
Now, you may have...
I was thinking... Probably it would be a very special episode.
Well, these days it's very special because it's happening. So
yeah, yeah.
So if you didn't hear, Phil started another podcast and has abandoned me, and it has nothing to do with me and my schedule and how I
yeah,
haven't
it
made
nothing
priority.
To do
it's
with
all
that.
Phil's fault. It's all
yeah.
Phil's fault.
If you believe that, well, you're just. I don't know.
Call him
don't
out,
believe
Phil.
That. Lucas is just lying. There is a podcast. There is another podcast that I'm
no,
involved
Phil
with.
No, Phil is on a
through my
it's
work.
Called Thriving in Ministry. You should listen to it too if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Even if you're not in ministry and you're not thriving, it's a great podcast to listen to. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but this, you know, I don't want to say that I don't enjoy doing the Thriving in Ministry podcast. It is fun. I love those guys that I work with. And it's a work thing, but it's also, you know, we love what we do. So it's a love thing. But
this is
purely a love thing. We love doing Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. It's just something we have so much fun doing. We do it because we love it. And we, you know, we keep doing it because, you know, somebody walks up to us and says, hey, when's the next episode coming out? You know,
we're like, oh, yeah.
And so
that's
we're like, oh, I guess we need to keep doing that. So here we are and really happy to be here, even though we're not together. We're recording remotely once again, which is kind of the new normal for Lucas and Phil since we are
It is
no
what
longer...
it is for now. So we'll get back around to being together. But
we'll get co-located again at some point.
Yes, we'll move Phil to Oklahoma City. You know, if this podcast blows up, we'll have to move together to have a co-studio anyway.
Of course.
So.
Or we'll have enough money to fly back and forth on...
Yeah, so you can just commute.
I'll have a private jet.
Yeah.
Actually, it probably would be just as fast. We're only an hour and a half away. It's just a matter of, you know, not being so busy that you could actually drive an hour and a half.
Yes.
Come here
yes,
or go
if
there.
If one of us just became independently wealthy, I think we'd have it made, whether that's a private jet or just having, you know, the few hours it takes to drive there and back. So
yeah, I don't think we really need to be independently wealthy. Just
anyway,
slightly
well, let's get
more wealthy.
Slightly. No, I think it needs to be independent.
Let's just jump right in. If we're having prayer request time, then that's the request.
Phil, now... Matt, if you're listening, we have squashed the coup. They tried to steal Gen Z Word of the Week. Now, we had put Gen Z Word of the Week. We didn't kill it. We just like put it to rest for a minute because we were using more words than Gen Z was coming up with. So now that we've rested it for a while, they've met. All the Gen Zers got together and have come up with new words.
They said, Lucas and Phil have used up all our words. We need more.
We need lots more. So... Yeah. So hopefully they're listening and will appreciate this. So I have
Gen Z committee.
I have a new Gen Z committee word.
Gen Z.
One, two, three, four. It's five words, but it's
five
you know
words.
It's a Gen Z phrase of the week, if you will.
Gen Z phrase.
Are you ready?
I get paid extra for this. Sweet.
Yeah, it's a percentage raise. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
You ready?
So go. Yeah.
Ate and left no crumbs.
I'm going to say, because I relate this immediately to, like sports, like we want to say, and we say it in music too. Like if the guitar player has a solo, it's his time to eat. If a running back on your football team gets in the game, it's his time to eat. You want to let him eat. Mm-hmm. You want to let your receivers eat. You want to let them have their chance to shine. So I'm going to relate it to that. And I'm going to say that it means that he really showed up and did everything he could do. He did a great job, or he did awesome, or he at least left it all out there on the field, so to speak. How's that? Was that close?
That's perfect. Right
really?
On the money. I am so
no
proud
way.
Of you. Dang, we should get you a reward.
You know
have you thought about wearing like a backwards flat brim hat?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I have become Gen Z, not fluent, but sensitive, perhaps. I don't know.
Like, to be what it is, right, is most days you wear joggers and a zip-up hoodie, right? Like, you dress like the people,
black shirt.
And you have become the people.
I have become the people.
He has become.
All right,
the I'm
Gen
so
Zers.
Proud of you. Watch out, Papa Phil is coming.
So. Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not coming. Gen Zers, you're fine. Stay there.
Okay.
I'm not coming.
Okay,
I'm happy
so
where
let me,
I
let
am.
Me. I'm gonna give you
between
one
Gen X and the Boomers. So
because you won, I'm gonna give you 1 minute exactly. Tell us the best thing you had to eat this week.
The best thing I had to eat this week was not this week. You can't do that to me, Lucas. Well, I can edit. It'll take 1 minute exactly, I promise, after the edits have taken place. You know, it wasn't this week, but it was since the last time we recorded a podcast. My wife made pulled pork. Does this sound familiar?
Ooh.
Our last podcast, you talked about pulled pork that didn't exactly work out the way you wanted it to.
Oh, yes.
But
yes,
my
yes,
wife
yes.
made this in the oven, and I declare. One of the best things I have ever eaten.
Now, did you
just
like
pulled pork?
The question is, when you have meat like that, do you put barbecue sauce on it, or do you
no?
Okay.
No. If you need barbecue sauce, you didn't do your job.
Now here's the deal, though, I would agree if you also the timer's up, but if you need barbecue sauce, it's bad. But sometimes you just have the perfect sauce that like complements it and goes together.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can say the same thing. Like if you need milk in your coffee, maybe you just brewed bad coffee, right?
Or maybe you just
but
don't
even
like coffee.
When it's if it's great coffee, you know, maybe just a little like a latte is a very well done drink,
exactly.
with great coffee. So
it's better.
But no, like I would agree. Like if you have to have barbecue sauce with it, which it's kind of that like I love barbecue in all forms. So even bad barbecue is pretty good.
Yeah. Just a little
you know,
smoky meat with a
but
crust
it's like,
on
yeah,
it. That's
you,
good stuff.
If you can drench it in barbecue sauce and eat it, then I'll still eat it. So I'll be pretty happy about it.
Yeah. So what about you, Lucas? Have you had something unique, interesting, really amazingly good since the last time we recorded a podcast?
I'm sure we have, but I can't remember. So
okay, then.
How
about
I'll tell
this
you
week?
Later.
It's the best thing. Tell me later. Okay.
Yeah.
No one.
I'll hit you up.
Yeah.
So, okay, but I did want to very quickly because I know I have a dad story with Lucas, but my brain, to be honest, I woke up with a migraine this morning, and so I've been like in and out of sleep and taking various medication to try to kick this thing. So I don't know if my brain's fully functioning, Phil. So
I get it.
Usually between the two of us, we have about 100% functionality total, but I don't know if we're going to reach that this morning.
Yeah. Well, if we're around 70, I think for our listeners, that's probably pretty good.
I mean, to be honest, 30 is probably going to do it. Some more. It may be a less gratifying episode, but it's definitely more entertaining. So,
yeah. You know what? This is not related to anything except what's happened to me in my mind at the moment. I wanted to take a moment to, you know, the last time we recorded an episode, I believe it was the last time, I issued a retraction of something I had said. I had called something my wife ate, fixed, that I ate, shepherd's pie. And I described it as having beef in it, right? I was corrected that shepherd's pie has lamb in it. And if it's made with beef, it's called, what, do you remember?
Farmer's pie.
No, cottage pie. Yeah, I would think rancher's pie, right?
Yeah.
A cottage pie is the name. But I'm going to retract that retraction because my wife showed me the recipe, very old recipe, written by British people in a British Commonwealth, New Zealand. And it is made with ground beef and it is called shepherd's pie. I think it's actually called mom's shepherd's pie. pie, and it's made with ground beef. So, look, I know that the internet doesn't lie, but the internet sometimes is wrong.
Well,
so
I was going to say, I don't know if you knew this, but back in the day in New Zealand, they called lamb beef.
No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. I will say this, though. I've been to New Zealand, and not only do they have more sheep than people, but they have some of the best beef in the world in New Zealand. People don't know that. They think, oh, New Zealand lamb. But the beef is also absolutely phenomenal. And
honestly,
cheese.
All I think of is Stephen Adams. And
Stephen Adams, that's right.
Aren't there Tasmanian devils in New Zealand? Isn't that a thing? No, that's Tasmania.
That's Australia, yeah. Tasmania is, I think, a region in the outback of Australia.
Anyway, you know, if you've never been there and you're not from there and you're not married to someone from there.
It's all the same, right?
Australia, yeah, it doesn't, New Zealand. It doesn't connect quite right. It's part of the continent. So anyway, Phil, let's dive in. So I wanted to talk about.
No. They're not on the same continent. Australia is a continent, and then New Zealand is down. It's like a way down, a separate. I don't know.
So what continent is New Zealand a part of?
I don't know. Is it a part of a continent? Does everything have to be a part of a continent?
I think everything has to be a part of a continent.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is the same continent.
If we have anyone who listens who knows science, please tell us.
No, you mean geography. Yeah, that is a science. Yes, if you know the science of geography. I was like, science? What? Like chemistry?
Hey, the sixth grade science teacher talks about plate movement and things, so it's got to be in the same.
It's yes, earth. Yes, it is science, geography, earth science. Yes, that's true.
I mean, because like the Vancouver Islands are a part of North America, but they are islands.
True. Well, what is Hawaii a part of? What continent is that a part of?
I don't know. I think it's its own continent.
Yeah. Let's not talk. This will not be a new segment, Geography with Lucas and Phil.
Yeah, obviously we're terrible at it. So,
oh man, what's next, Lucas? What do we got going on now?
Okay, so the next one is this. So John Piper tweeted this out, and so I just wanted to.
This is our main course. We're ready for the main course.
Yeah, we are. We're trying to eat quickly today and leave no crumbs. So he said, Hebrews 12:28 says, "Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." And then he followed with this comment. Can we reassess whether Sunday coffee sipping in the sanctuary fits?
Ooh. And
so this is where my immediate response was like, yeah, you should be able to sip coffee in the sanctuary, right? Like sure. I just immediately am like, why does it matter? But I do think it's worth a conversation. And the more I think about it, like I do want to think like essentially, is our worship too casual? And so, Phil, I'm going to just leave that question with you, and I'm going to go. So, no, I'm just joking. But I'm going to let you take first dibs at this. Is our worship too casual?
This is a really hard question for a guy that sits, as I mentioned earlier, right between Gen X and Boomer, because my generation said, hey, what is with all this formality in worship? Cut it out. We're sick of it. It's just tradition. It's meaningless. We want genuineness in our worship. We want it to be organic. I grew up singing hymns, for instance, and I was a part of that revolution, those early adapters to praise and worship music as a music leader. And I took a lot of grief as a young man for doing contemporary music and worship. And so the whole casual worship thing, really most of my ministry celebrated that. I mean, I wanted them bringing coffee in, but then I wanted them to put it down when it was time to worship.
Right.
Okay. So, right. Because I'm like, no, I also was really big in my ministry on let's actually engage in worship, which is, I think what Piper's getting at is like,
oh, absolutely.
Wait, reverence means, okay. To my mind, I'm going to say reverence has a lot to do with focus and letting go of self and allowing yourself to move into that awe of the transcendence of God. So coffee, I don't know. It's a tough one for me. I'm gonna say it. I think we ought to allow people to have some level of comfort as they come in to worship. Mm-hmm. But I think we probably need to have a culture of moving beyond the temporal into the transcendent. you can't sip your coffee or answer a text if you're really focused on the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's where, so one of the quotes he says in the article, which I have the advantage of having the article pulled up right in front of me. But yeah, one of the things he says is, the heart of the problem is not the absence of rules, but the absence of reverence, which you just listed as the reverence. And so I do think like—
And we saw it as rules only. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's where I think like— I remember growing up in churches, and my dad was the worship pastor, and it's always the rule of like, well, there's no food or drink in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it's because they liked their carpet.
Yeah.
But, and some of them liked their carpet more than they liked the people, but that's another podcast.
Or maybe God. I don't know.
It's true. But I think like it is like, I don't think you fix this by like no coffee in the sanctuary. Like first off, no. I'll just bring tea. Thank you. That's usually what I have on Sunday mornings in the sanctuary is tea. That's what's served in the lobby. So, yeah. But I do think there has to be, it's a heart posture. And I love like R.C. Sproul, like he talked about, and I remember listening to one of his sermons about like, should we be in suits in the sanctuary? Like, should this be, and like, should you get dressed? And I do think there is something to like our physical posture, our physical preparation will mirror a spiritual posture and spiritual presentation. And so it is the like, if you're hip bebopping in your pajamas, like roll out of bed and walk in, like first off, I think that's better than you not being there at all. But can you, like, and maybe this can be a real question, can you like come in spiritually prepared without being physically prepared?
Well, I would say, I mean, and again, this goes back to my generation. We totally rejected the idea of the suits and the coats and jackets and ties that my parents wore and demanded. And again, that was another thing I took a lot of grief for as a worship leader during that transition time to now, where pastors, even from the generation before me, preach in polo shirts, you know, and
well, yeah, there's now, not like a, it's mostly, I mean, you, church culture now versus or like little C church culture over big C church culture. It just depends on where you are on a Sunday. Like our pastor is almost always in like a button down with a vest is like his very typical and like a Patagonia type, you know, like adventure vest, not a three piece suit vest. My grandfather still always preached in a suit. And I remember when I would fill in for him preaching, I would ask him like, well, do I need to wear a suit? And he's like, well, you'd be the only one in the church if I'm not there. Like you'd be maybe one or two other older gentlemen will be in a suit and that's it.
Right.
And like, but again, too, when I was leading worship at Rancho there, I would typically wear a tie. Now a lot of, I wasn't like among the majority still, but there were a lot of older folks who would still be in ties, but there were also people in their pajamas there. When I came to Eastwood, I mostly stopped wearing ties because not many people were in a tie at that point, you know? Yeah. And, at Mission OKC, I mean, I was usually, you didn't need anything but a t-shirt. So it's all like church to church.
Yeah. And it's been a continuum of adjustment to, the culture, the pervading culture of the population of the church. If you look at Eastwood, 20 something years ago, when I went there to be on staff as their interim worship director, a couple took me out and bought me two suits because they knew that my church was very casual. That was my deal, but I was going to do this as sort of an addendum to my own church. My church only met on Friday nights, and they understood. They're like, Phil, we love you, we trust you, but you got to have a suit because that's the culture right now. That's 20-something years ago, whereas, you know, and a lot of churches have adjusted. I was going to say this before. We can move away from clothes here, but my generation rejected the suits and ties because we thought there is an emphasis on the externals. To us, it was pharisaical. To us, it was absolutely contradicting what Jesus said about washing the inside of the cup, not the outside.
Yeah, it's the whitewashed tomb. I mean,
yeah,
I think we're on the same wavelength here. We both must be at the same level of brain working because my next question and thought was like, can we go too far in the opposite direction where it is the, you know, more emphasis on physical preparation over spiritual preparation, you know, and you are coming into worship to look good, basically, or that you have to look this way to worship, which, again, I don't think is true. Like, but I do think that that becomes a thing. I know.
Go ahead.
Well, it's a church here in Oklahoma City. They require jacket and tie in their main service. And they have a huge children's service across the parking lot. But if you show up to church without a jacket and tie, that is where you will attend service, is in the children's, because you have to have suit and tie to be in their church. And like, this is today. This is not 30 years ago. This is today. And so it is like, I mean, I've never been there. I'm not a part of that church. And but this is kind of there.
I just want to say theologically, and this is where I think the sipping coffee is a great sort of point of reference here, because to me, theologically, where the clothing, and like even with you using the phrase, I'm going to call that phrase out a little bit, being prepared for worship, theologically, I don't believe we prepare ourselves for worship in the truest sense, because he does that. You know, he makes us righteous. He imputes righteousness to us so that we can come into the presence of God on a spiritual level. Now, mentally, we have to prepare. Mentally, again, like we talked about, it's focus. It's that sacrifice of praise, if you will, which is, to me, just a turning of the mind in a certain direction toward Him.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, internals, not externals, but the external may reflect something internal.
Yeah, and I think it is like, and when I was saying the spiritual preparation, I think I was more leaning in that like mental preparation of, you know, I know, and again, this should be towards believers, not towards the unbeliever, right? Like our churches should be a place where you can walk in your pajamas and a cup of coffee, or, you know, Diet Coke if you know.
Yeah.
But for the believer, right, I think there has to be like, you know, and should be expectant of what's about to happen, right? Like, you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Lord does these amazing things there, but that's the point, is like, you should be expectant of what you're coming to do and what the Lord in turn is going to do. And so, like, that mental preparation, you, like, every Sunday shouldn't be this walking in, and then, like, I don't know, at some point you have this just rereading the passage of... it says, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And I just think like you're coming in like with reverence and awe. What should that look like? And I think you mentioned like when you begin to worship, like put the coffee down, put the phone down. Like I do agree, like you can't be checking your fantasy scores with reverence and awe. You know, like you can't be checking the score of the Chiefs game with reverence and awe. Now, I think you can worship by watching the Chiefs, because you can glorify God and rest, and you can rest. Now, you should definitely be rooting against them, but I don't think like the truest sense of worship, right? Like you can't have both.
No, and I think it's interesting that in the book of Hebrews, he talks about a true sense of reverence, and his point in Hebrews is the focus, the is the unveiling of the spiritual, the unseen, to pull away all of the religious pretending. You know, this is what the book of Hebrews is about. Pull away that religious pretending to be reverent and pretending to worship, and let's really worship. So it's sort of almost like my generation and every generation has sort of been hopefully seeking for the same thing and having some different ideas about how to do it. But the goal should be to truly worship in spirit and truth.
And I agree. And I would think, you know, realistically what we're looking at is a pendulum that has probably swung too far in each generation, you know, and it's where if you've had the, like, you have to wear a suit and tie, no food or drink at all. And then you swing into this, like, okay, now wear pajama pants and bring your bagel. And then it's, you know, where are you, where should we land?
Yeah, sure.
And I think ultimately the point is, like, you can worship with reverence and awe in both situations, mm-hmm. because it's not about a coffee cup. And I think that's if you read the article, which is on Desiring God, on Coffee Sipping in the Sanctuary is the name of the article or interview. But it is like it's not about those things. It's about, I mean, and it always is. It's about your heart. And like, are you absolutely in reverence and awe? Because I do think too, like, you can be in reverence and awe while holding a coffee cup, right? But it's the posture. I mean, and earlier I'd started to make the point, and then again, my brain, I didn't finish making it. But I just remember it being no food or drink in the sanctuary, except the worship leader and the pastor, they could have water because they're talking. You know what I mean? Like, they were allowed to have a drink.
Right. You're like, makes wait sense. A minute. Yeah.
But as a kid, it's like, but I can't bring a bottle of water. I'm singing too. Like, my voice gets dry singing too. Like, I should have water.
So anyway, true.
Young.
Yeah. But especially if you're the minister's kid, you're like, wait, dad gets to have it. Okay. Exactly. Well, I think that's a great, great encouragement. But I think we're running out of time, Lucas.
I think so.
Do you have a minute of culture, or can I take my minute of culture?
Is it about being a Chiefs fan? Is that what you're going to talk about?
Curmudgeonry. No, it has nothing to do with the Chiefs. It has to do with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
All right, Phil. Start your minute timer.
No.
Go.
It has talk to do, this is my fear, and I was actually going to look it up, but I believe in the Campbell's Soup endorsement curse. And I was really concerned when I saw Travis Kelce and his brother and their mother endorsing Campbell's chunky soup. Because it's well known, it's well documented that football players who endorse or endorse by Campbell's soup come to tragic ends in their careers. And so I'm just like, I'm a little concerned as a Chiefs fan. And then, you know, it was like the next week after I saw that ad, the Chiefs started stinking. So I don't know. I has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce is not playing as well since we found out about the relationship. But I think it's more to do with Campbell's soup. Don't blame Swifty. Blame Campbell's soup. But again, the Chiefs won yesterday, or Saturday. So I'm happy. We're doing good.
Hey. I have beef with Travis Kelce because he has been playing poorly. And the year that I finally get him on several of my fantasy football teams, and he's just looks terrible. Yeah. So
he has emerged as like the greatest of all time. And now he's struggling a little bit to catch some balls. Yeah. It's really, it's been tough.
Sam Laporta for life, baby. Sam Laporta. Yeah. That's where I'm going now. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy that. Man, it's been great. I've really enjoyed, talking with you today, buddy.
All right. Me too, Phil. It's good to see your face, even if it's over a screen. So,
yeah, I hope we get to have another episode recording very soon.
Yes.
And hey, thank you guys so much for listening today. We are, I don't know what to say.
I do. We
Lucas
love you guys.
Does this.
We
love you
pancakes.
Guys.
Loving pancakes.
Love
If you have any
pancakes.
Questions, comments, or concerns, honestly, we barely have enough time to podcast, so we probably won't get to those. But you
if
can
you
send
email
them.
This, we apologize for not reading or answering the email.
secondbreakfast777@gmail.com or?
Yes, secondbreakfast777 it's the at sign, not the word at, gmail.com.
I'm sure they were confused about that, Phil. Phil, any final words?
Love and that thing.
All right, we will see y'all next. Or
love you guys.
Hear us next time. Bye.
Bye.